the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul, in his epistle, thanks God for the graces which he has bestowed on the Corinthians. He thanks God for the grace of their baptisms and of their interior faith, and for all of the effects of the faith in them. The Corinthians were a rich, worldly, lustful, and debauched people. They lived in a city that was a center of trade. And if you read the epistles to them, you can tell that St. Paul had to exhort them concerning the abandonment of this former life that they had. Nonetheless, they were enthusiastic about the faith. So, as St. Paul thanks God for their faith and for the effects of faith in them, so we should thank God for our faith. We should thank God for having been born into, or having been converted to, as the case may be, the Catholic faith. Think of all of the various errors of the world, all of the things that human beings have fallen into, not only in our own time, but in times past, with regard to error concerning God. Think of people who, like the voodoo, who worship snakes, or in the Old Testament, peoples that worship flies, or idols. People who worshipped idols, to whom their babies had to be offered in death, and then they would burn the baby. And these are but a few. Even in modern times, think of Protestantism and Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. And with all of those, I have mentioned the great majority of the human race. The human race very easily falls into error. Very, very easily. Just as a child, when it is learning to walk, very easily falls down. And so also human beings very easily err concerning God. This is the effect of original sin, the darkening of our intellects concerning God, which is the most important knowledge that we have. And then when you think of modern atheism, how many people are atheists or agnostics, where they either deny the existence of God or don't care about it. And this is true of many people in countries that were once Catholic. And we should be particularly grateful to God for having been preserved from the Novus Ordo. Now when you add the Novus Ordo to the list of errors, think of all of the people who were blessed, like yourselves, with knowledge of the faith in their youth, and who now have, for all intents and purposes, lost the faith. Very recently, the American bishops said, it's on their website, that Jews should not be converted, nor should they be invited to baptism. The bishops of the United States. And they quote Vatican documents back to 1985 in support of that position, that the Jews still have a valid covenant with God. Now, what could be more basic to the Catholic faith than that we should convert the Jews and bring them to the knowledge of their true Messiah and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ? In fact, this is the very thing that consumed the life of St. Paul, himself a Jew, to go into the empire where he would find Jews in every large city. He would go first to them, understanding that they understood the foundations of the Holy Gospel more than a Gentile who was adoring an idol. That was his whole apostolate, was to convert the Jews to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is more an abandonment of the faith than to say we should not convert Jews? We should not bring them to baptism. And yet the mass of Catholics shrug their shoulders and think nothing of it. That the shepherds of their souls deny the most fundamental truth of the Catholic faith, that you should be baptized. And so we're seeing the Novus Ordo now, its errors seeping right into the very foundations of our faith, the most fundamental aspects of it. And you should thank God that you have been preserved from this incredible error. It is something like being the survivor of an airplane crash or of the sinking of a ship. That God in His mercy has preserved you, and that people who perhaps were very fervent in their faith years ago have now lost it and have accepted ecumenism, have abandoned the tenets of their faith. You should thank God, for if you still have it, it's by the grace of God. St. John Chrysostom said, "Nothing is so acceptable to God than that men should be thankful." Being thankful to God for the benefits He has given us is one of the most fundamental actions of religion. You know, ACTS, the four objects of prayer: adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. And thanksgiving is among those acts of prayer. To thank God for everything good that you have is from God, whether it's natural or whether it's supernatural, whether it's your life and your health, which are natural gifts, whether it's the things you own, whether it's other temporal blessings, or whether it's supernatural gifts such as the gift of faith and the gift of sanctifying grace, the gift of charity and hope and prudence and all of the virtues, whether it's the Holy Eucharist, whether it's the whole church. All of these things are from God. These are gifts from God. So one of the very first things you do in prayer and in your relationship with God is to thank Him. It's so easy just to thank God for what we have. And the center of our holy faith is the sacrifice of the Eucharist. And what does Eucharist mean? Thanksgiving. So the best way to be grateful to God for your faith is to live up to it. Those who have survived a disaster cherish their lives all the more. Think of those people a year ago who were able to escape the crashing building. They cherish their lives this year all the more because they nearly lost them. And they thank God, or they should, for having survived. And so we who have the faith should take it seriously and live up to the commandments of God. We should spurn the world and its allurements, its ideas, its attitudes, all of which are contrary to the faith. We should spurn the culture of the modern world, this culture that doesn't come from the church, but which comes from the deep roots of the enemies of the church and ultimately from the devil himself. And this culture is contrary to faith and morals in practically all of its aspects. Our blessed Lord detests hypocrisy. We know that from the Holy Gospel. There is hardly a gospel that is read from the pulpit in which our Lord does not condemn the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. The evangelists recorded these incidents very faithfully, and if we see them so much in the evangelists, it's because our Lord did it many times. He detests hypocrisy, and it is Pharisaical hypocrisy to practice the externals of the traditional faith, but at the same time to accept the attitudes, the morals, and the culture from the modern world. That is Pharisaical hypocrisy. It is an affront to God, and it is a lack of gratitude for having been saved from the disaster of the modern world. What would you say of a man who, saved from a crashing plane, would himself throw himself into the devouring flames? And so also when we have been saved by God, if we go back into the devouring flames of the putrefied morals and culture of the modern world, we are ungrateful to God for having been saved from those things. Remember that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she still had a love in her heart for Sodom. And she looked back upon Sodom with longing love. And for that infidelity, she was turned into a pillar of salt to the shock of her husband and her children. And look at the Jews. How they were punished for their infidelity and lack of gratitude to God in the desert. 350,000 of them left Egypt, but only 2 made it to the promised land. The others died in the desert because of their infidelity and their ingratitude to God for having been saved from the Egyptians. And later on, because of further ingratitude and infidelity, they were subjugated by foreigners until finally Jerusalem was destroyed and they were taken into the Babylonian captivity under Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, the great Temple of Solomon being destroyed, the Ark of the Covenant being lost, everything in rubble, only to return once again by the mercy of God, and then again to be ungrateful to God when He sent His only begotten Son, the Savior. And then they were punished for this ingratitude a final time by the destruction of Jerusalem and by the loss of their election and their vocation, and are still being punished because of their ingratitude to God. Ingratitude for the great benefit that they received. Do not be ungrateful to God, but give thanks to God for having been preserved from error. Give thanks to God for your holy faith, and cherish the divinely revealed faith that you have as your most important possession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.